hyvää vapaudentavoittelijan päivää, joka siis, jos multa kysytään, niin onhan se joka päivä. Tänään käsitellään semmoista ehkä hitusen tällä hetkellä trendaavaa aihetta nimeltä diginomadius. Eli ajatusta siitä, että nykypäivän etätyöläinen voi viedä työnsä käytännössä minne tahansa. Mä itse pohdin tätä juuri, kun vietin pari viikkoa Madeiralla tehden etätöitä sieltä. Ja oikeastaan se kysymys, mitä mä pohdin, mitä varmaan aika moni pohtii, kun lomailee jossain, tai siis mä hänen lomailun olin töissä, mutta silti. Pohdin, että miksi mä en asu Madeiralla? Miksi mä asun Suomessa? Ja aika moni varmaan on kelaillut tässä korona-aikana, että mitäs järkeä se on nököttää loskassa Suomessa neljän seinän sisällä, kun aika monet näistä etätöistä kuitenkin onnistuisi jostain muualtakin. Ja voisi ajatella, että tämä diginomadius on tällä hetkellä kasvussa, meinaa. Madeiralla ainakin törmäsin tämmöiseen pystytettyyn työtilaan, jossa sinne siis sai mennä tekemään töitä ilmaiseksi. Nettiyhteys toimi ja työtilat oli vapaasti käytössä. Hyvä tapa tuoda turismia, ihmisiä, kasvua. Miksipä se ei? Ja aika moni on jo ennen koronaa lähtenyt elämään tämmöistä elämäntapaa, johon kuuluu tyypillisesti se, että mennään johonkin vähän halvempaan maahan, kannetaan läppäriä mukana, saadaan työt järjestettyä niin, että tienaa palkkaa siinä lähtömaassa eikä kohdemaassa, joten aika kätevää. No, mä kutsuin tänne podiin sen takia vieraaksi pariskunnan, joka tietää tästä asiasta vähän enemmän kuin minä, nimittäin Kaisa Siipilehdon ja Louise Zuletan. Ja heidän tilanne on siis tämä, että Kaisa on valmennusalan yrittäjä ja Louise taas on töissä amerikkalaiselle yritykselle IT-konsulttina ja hän on siis ihan palkkasuhteessa. Joten mua kiinnostaa nyt tietenkin ainakin se, että miten ne saa tämän homman toimimaan niin, että asuvat eri aikavyöhykkeellä kuin asiakkaansa tai työnantajansa. Mitä he on oppineet tämän diginomadiuden aikana, onko se niin ihanaa kuin miltä se näyttää vai mitä kommelluksia tulee vastaan ja mitä koti tarkoittaa ihmisille, joilla ei varsinaisesti ole omaa kotia, vaan vaihtuvia asuntoja. Ja tämä haastattelu on siis englanniksi, niin pääset siinä samalla vähän aistimaan kansainvälistä tunnelmaa sun keskiviikkopäivään tai minä ikinä päivänä tätä kuunteletkaan. Mutta päästetään ääneen Kaisa ja Louise. So, today my guests are Kaisa Siipilehto and Louise Zuleta. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, hi, pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so where are you right now? Where are we meeting currently?
We are calling from Napoli, Naples.
Naples, okay.
In Italy.
And how did you end up in Naples? Do you have a connection to the city or is it just a place you're visiting?
Honey, do you want to tell?
Sure, sure. It's a very loose connection. I think at some point we had planned to visit to do a tango event. Tango is just one of our common hobbies. And we had planned to come here in tango. And part of the experience for us has just been picking places as we go along. And so at some point we said, oh, you know, we had planned to go to Napoli there, and it ticked off another boxes, which I think you'll have. It ticked a few boxes for us, right? So one of the things was like, it's a language that I had studied at some point. I wanted to learn more Italian. Mm-hmm. It's a bit cheaper than, say, Rome. So at the time, we were still taking into consideration the cost as well. And we had wanted to visit at some point. And so that kind of all those things brought together, kind of we just, you know, took the plane here. Basically, we didn't know anybody here at the time. We had one connection. We didn't know about the neighborhoods or anything like that. So, but we did leverage that one connection.
Okay. So what kind of a day have you had so far today? Is this your, have you been working or what does life look like for you in Naples?
Well, I would say our days start pretty late because of my current work schedule. I try to align myself to US hours, more or less. So we normally go to bed a bit later and wake up a bit later. And then my work day, quote unquote, when it's structured, it starts around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so that gives us the morning to get things done during the day. Sometimes we'll go and run some errands. We do laundry or, you know, just get our everyday to day, get our workout in. And then you know, spend the afternoon working. We mostly cook here at home. So we, you know, around 3 o'clock, we kind of close the shop down and get to work. And then by the end of the day, we usually end our day around, let's say, midnight, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Is it similar for you, Kaisa, or do you have different working hours?
Well, of course, I try to align myself a little bit with Luis's schedule because, like he said, you know, if we run errands or we do workouts together, so that's nice. We kind of have the free time together before we start the workday. But for example, today I had a meeting already in the morning, so I'm more flexible. Let's say as an entrepreneur, I can schedule my days.
Yeah. So you guys, you're an entrepreneur, so you have the possibility to decide your schedules. But Luis, you're working on a contract base, right? 80%, was it so, and remote?
Yes, it started 80% and 20% in the office.
Was it hard to land on a contract like that, that you're able to work remotely 80% of their time?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't know. That's all relative. You know, it was my very first time doing that. Prior to that, we had just been, Kaisa's been, you know, doing her entrepreneurship work throughout, but I was not employed as such. And so when I was looking to come back into the workforce, I mean, it's all brand new. We were kind of making it up as we were going along. And the talks with this employer got along the way, and it looked like they were quite interested. So I remember having this conversation with Kaisa where I said, like, look, let's ask for something we think might be a little bit crazy. They were looking for obviously more time at the office, but we wanted to travel. And we said, okay, let's think about, you know, like, what would be something really crazy that we could ask for that, you know, they have to say yes, or if they say no, we're not going to be sad really to do it. And so we landed, we said, okay, well, let's ask for, let's say a little bit more money and let's ask for less time in the office and see what they come back with. And they said, yes. So it was a little bit nerve wracking to think of asking for more or asking for that, I would say, but I'm not sure that I would call it hard because we kind of just went for it in some sense.
If that
makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you have to kind of take the risk of really asking for something if that's your dream to live like this. Has it been clear for you guys from the beginning of your entrepreneurship that you want to live abroad and work remotely? Have you kind of created your entrepreneurship around that?
Before I became an entrepreneur, I started to look for career change. When we met 4.5 years ago, and remote working wasn't like it is today. And I was doing marketing job in Helsinki, Finland. So, and Luis moved from Houston to London, and I was like, okay, how can I go to London? But I was thinking more broadly. So how can we live together in London first? How it goes to live together? Because we had been, you know, seeing each other around the world. But I was thinking, like, what can I do from almost anywhere in the world? Because, like, Luis has family in Mexico and US, and my connections and family is in Finland and Europe. So I kind of knew that if we want to be together, that it will be around the world. So I started thinking my career change also in that perspective, like, what can I do? And then when I found coaching and I've been doing it remotely, it's great because it really works for my clients and I can be anywhere, just aligning the time zones, and I can help people from different places as well. So it's been about that, to think about like, okay, where do we want to live? But the work comes with me. So it has worked so far.
Well, you call yourself digital nomads. How do you see, is it different from just living abroad in one place?
Yeah, I've done both, I suppose. When we lived in London together, that was more like living abroad for me. And then really it has been more shorter stints of time between countries and things like that, especially over the last year. That's been more recent. So we've done both, I think. We both lived abroad in London for, for me it was 3 years. I think for Kaisa it's like 1.5 years. And so it's completely different, right? I think when you live in a place for a year and a half, it's like you can in some ways kind of make a home there, and you can settle in and feel good in your longer term friendships and relationships, as well as your neighborhood and things like that. And what we've been doing now recently is you don't quite get to settle in, but you get the chance to see very many different places. Maybe within that flexibility allows you to be exposed to many different places, but you don't have that ability to sort of settle in. And then both of them have this really great thing of like just getting to know a new place and getting to be exposed to new cultures and to new ways of living, you know, like living in a big city like London. It was a wonderful exposure, and it was for a long time at that time. So, mix and match of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would say in a practical sense, it's like, okay, do you get bank accounts and things like that if you're like living in one place? But if you're a nomad living a month there, 2 months there, like then it's more like, we just take our habits to some place and explore, but it's not like, okay, creating a home.
What do you think about, I think it's interesting, the idea of home. What is home for you now when you don't really have a home?
Well, for me, it has changed a lot. Because before we met, I thought like home is a physical place. It's the apartment where I live, and I love like interior design. So to really like decorate my home, and that's my safe space that I really enjoy. But when we met and we were, you know, first in a long distance relationship, and then I have moved since to apartments which are not maybe that what I would consider like, oh, this is my ideal home, but how the home can be actually with someone. It's more like mental and emotional place now for me, like, and who do I want to be with and what's surrounding me? Because I still have my apartment in Helsinki, but now I'm renting it, so... I've moved from my, let's quote, home, but the home as a concept has changed a lot for me. I'm now in a point that I just want to see different places in the world. But obviously, we've been talking about this, that this is good for now, but at some point we want to find more a place that we would stay a bit longer.
Is that your main motivation for the digital nomad, to see as many different places as possible, or are there other motivations that you think are important for you?
Oh, good question.
You'll have to correct me here if I'm wrong, honey, but I think that was exactly the idea at first, right? That we would say one of the original conversations of just moving around a lot was around my work, that I was going to stop working. And if I remember correctly, one of the ideas would be that we might try to take a year or so to really travel and look around and see if there was a place that really called our name as a place that we might call home. Since we have so much distance between what we would traditionally call our homes, I don't think for us it's that important to say like, oh, it's well, let's say it's not automatic for us to say, okay, we'll live here or we'll live there. So we really have a bit of a choice that we can make, and it'd be good for us. I thought it'd be exciting for us to kind of try out a few different places to see where we, you know, might land as far as like what would be a longer term place that we could stay.
Yes, and when we were in London, and our plan was to travel more around Europe because Louis really wanted to come from the States to Europe and see many places. And well, then the COVID hit and we weren't able to travel as much as we wanted. So let's say that now the nomad lifestyle kind of supports that, that we could travel more, obviously considering our health and what is safe. But like Louis said, like to find a place that we would enjoy in a longer term. So now we are kind of exploring what would be that place.
Yeah, and we do get to see new places in the world as part of that. So that's it also works for that.
I'm really interested to find out more about your practicalities. You mentioned Airbnb is one that you use. Are there any other types of programs, websites, practical tools that you need to create this kind of nomad life? Where do you find your places and your housing and all?
Yeah. Well, I would say Airbnb has been one of the tried and true things to do. And I would say that one is probably one of the better tools. But one thing I have noticed, because I've been doing a lot of the searching here, has been that maybe if you are like more budget conscious, maybe the Airbnb is really geared towards the more tourist type of crowd, and maybe more... it's not very much a shoestring budget kind of place to find a room unless you want to share a place, things like that. And then different countries work quite differently. I mean, in Italy, I think a lot of people use Facebook. In other countries, you know, you see people really work through WhatsApp. People really, you know, if you're looking for a house or something, you look at you can walk a neighborhood and you might see a WhatsApp sign, and that's how you do it. Mexico seems to work quite a bit on WhatsApp. When we were in the UAE as well, restaurant reservations, a lot of things really were faster and easier to do on WhatsApp. But for us, Airbnb has proved okay. There's a lot of English speaking people there. You know, most of the hosts speak English. Otherwise the platform itself really lends itself to do that. And then the other thing is that you know, through the Airbnb, a lot of like the legalities kind of go away. So, you know, you're looking for people who have short term, and they take care a lot of the guaranteeing, sort of the legalities, kind of that legal landscape where you might be looking at, you know, in some countries you might not be able to sign a contract, right? If you're not a legal resident there, you might not be able to effectuate a contract, or you might not know the language, which might be another whole nother barrier to effectuate a contract there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it depends like how long periods you would be looking for. Because like I said, our initial plan was to come back, be here for another 3 months. So we were looking other places where you can rent apartments. But quite often they start from 6 month contracts. So I think it really depends like what kind of time span you're looking to be in one place. So then you can look for other things. But for example, using the Airbnb, they often have some monthly discounts if you're staying the whole month. So you can play around that a little bit, like, okay, how many days? And, oh, okay, if we are this many days, we get this much discount.
Yeah, it's actually quite a big discount, I noticed, that you can get like several hundreds off being somewhere for a month instead of 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And in some cases, some hosts are open to negotiation too. So it's not entirely like the price there is there. So in some places, hosts, and also depending on the culture, hosts are very open to the to negotiation. So you can try to, you know, even get the price down a little bit.
Hmm. Is there anything else that you had to kind of consider or plan ahead when you decided to start this lifestyle? Like, did you save up a lot of money, for example, or did you just start on a whim?
I think we both had savings, so it wasn't like our wallets were like $0 or euros. So both had savings, and yeah, it's been really like we started, and like I said, I moved to London to study. So we have worked our finances based on like, okay, Louis was employed and I got some adult student money, but it wasn't quite the same. So we also divide the kind of household costs based off of that. But yeah, it's... I don't know, lucky to be a Finn who has paid a lot of taxes before, and now I'm taking some of those benefits, for example, when I was studying, or now as an entrepreneur, you have a lot of different ways to get some support, like startup monies or things like that for your business. So it's good to look at those options as well if you're especially starting an own business.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Anything from your perspective, Louis, as an employed person, you've had a steady income the whole way through, right?
Not the whole way through. I think when we first started traveling, I was not really employed. I was taking completely time off. I've been employed again since late last year, November.
Okay.
Or so. And that has changed the equation a little bit, because before, I mean, if say we didn't have a steady internet connection, you know, it just meant I could take an entire completely day off and not worry about anything.
Yeah.
But now I think good things like internet connection become very much more important. Having a place where I know I can sit down and work. And because I am aligning myself with US hours at the moment, I would say being able to have a place that I can work from home, because the cafes and things like that usually close earlier than I need to log off. So those are the kind of considerations that, you know, I need to make sure. And then, you know, obviously all the practicalities of having for example, I had to have my laptop shipped from the US. So I had to make sure there was a little bit of a scramble to make sure I knew I had a secure enough address and a secure enough place to get these like corporate assets delivered to myself. And so, you know, you also have to make sure that you're taking care of all these things as you travel around, right? If you're going to be moving around and you have a remote office somewhere off in another continent, you might need to be extra careful to make sure that you have all your cables, all your credentials, everything stays you know, within you. So those kind of considerations, I think we've had to do. And then as we started dipping less into savings, and now there's more of an income coming in, a steady stream of income coming in, then we've had to like take our eyes maybe off of other things, like maybe we're less strict with the budgets now, right? As we go into one place, or maybe if we're looking at like maybe slightly nicer Airbnb this month, you know, that kind of thing that's been a bit of a plus now, having an actual income coming in, supporting kind of the lifestyle, as it were.
That's actually kind of fun. You can have a very nice Airbnb one month and then live a bit more on the budget the next month when you change locations. I guess you can kind of switch lifestyles as you travel as well when necessary.
Yeah, I mean, going back to that like Airbnb thing, one of the things that we've had a bit of a challenge with is that the platform is really for people vacationing, or, you know, it might be transitioning, but really is. So if you're looking for an entire month and you fall in love with a place and you don't book it, if somebody books it for a week, then you've lost that place
yeah.
or the month. And so we've had that actually recently happen too. Overall, the main thing that you have to, that you might want to keep in mind, and it's something that Kais and I have to remind of ourselves, is like, you are adventure. And part of an adventure is being in an adventure, and you don't know always what's going to happen, and things are not always going to go the way that you want them to or that you expect them to, and you just have to kind of keep on your toes, kind of like be able to react to some situations in a place where you might not know the language very well, or the bureaucracies might work a little bit different than what you expect, if they work at all.
Have you had any dramatic surprises, like you booked an apartment, it wasn't there or something?
Oh, we booked a hotel. Where was it?
In Rome. Extra flexibility. We just were in Rome. We were just going to be there for one weekend, but Kaisa really liked it. And I thought one weekend would be enough because I had been there already. But it was Kaisa's first time, so Kaisa wanted to be there, and we were scrambling to find a hotel, and Kaisa found one on a platform, and we're like, yes, okay, we can stay for a few days longer. And then we ended up going from our Airbnb to our new hotel that we were going to have for the weekend.
We went there, and there was this lady who, it's like an info desk or something, and they said like, oh, no, the hotel host has died. It's no longer there. The hotel is not there. The lady died. And we were just like, what? Like 3 months ago, the lady died and the hotel is still on hotels.com or where was it?
And you can book it.
We were just so amazed. Like, how can this happen? Like, what did happen? What happened to the lady? And yeah. So we had to find a new place that day.
We also had the misfortune of not reading newspapers because that was the weekend of the G8 happening in Rome as well. So every hotel was booked completely, or anything that was available was way too expensive for us. We found a hotel for the night and then a different Airbnb in a city in Sorrento, which we could take a train to the next day. So we took the train next day to Sorrento and spent the weekend instead of in Rome in Sorrento near the seaside. It ended up working out quite nicely. You know, we got to see Sorrento for a weekend. We got to be around that city, spend the weekend in a quite nice Airbnb.
Yeah. So it turned out okay.
Yeah, it turned out okay, yeah. But it was very unexpected that the lady had died.
Yeah.
During 3 months
different
prior.
Like experiences. Sometimes you don't expect this, but yeah, anything can happen. Now we know anything can happen.
Yeah, and as Louis said, it's an adventure and you kind of have to keep reminding yourself of that, even though you're working and living sort of a normal life, there's still a lot of unexpected things that might happen. Have you noticed that your attitude towards work has changed now that you're not kind of living the same life every day and from month to month?
I can say from my end that one of my biggest values are freedom and independence. So I think the entrepreneurship and being as a digital nomad just supports that. So this works for me at the moment very well. And if I would think about like going back to a 9-to-5, I was just like, maybe not yet. But I do hear like some entrepreneurs do their business for 10 years and go back to employment. Like, I think the beauty of careers is now that you can just create your own path, and really I would encourage people to follow like what suits your lifestyle at the moment and what you want to do. And like Louis mentioned, that he just thought like, okay, let's ask this and let's see how it lands to the recruiters. So I would encourage people to listen to your needs more and also plan the career around it.
How about for you, Louise? You work
well,
regular hours. still?
I still have regular hours. Yeah, I am still sort of a 9 to 5. We have managed to find some flexibility around that because I do have a wider window. So say if we wanted to do something tonight with friends or something, I would just make sure that I start working a little bit earlier and make sure that I don't schedule any meetings in the late evening in Houston or late afternoon in Houston, right? Past 3 or something like that. So there is some added flexibility for me as well, even though like I try to align myself with Houston hours. And then, I mean, even though I still work a 9 to 5, I think my attitudes towards work have changed a bit dramatically thanks to some of the experiences. Not entirely, I guess, as you can see, I'm still working a normal, what one might consider a normal job. But for me, you know, before the pandemic and before a lot of the stuff, my view of my work was that really I was kind of a mercenary, you know, a gun for hire. I was like, and I, you know, I told more than one person, it's like, I will do my work for the most money I can get paid for it. I don't have to like it. I'm just going to do it for the most, you know, the most I can get paid for it. And that will allow me to enjoy my life in other ways, you know. And then at some point in my career, that theory really got tested. And I joined, I was making quite a bit of money. I was making very good money, but I was still not, there was not enough space even left over to really start to enjoy life. And so that really made me question this idea of like how much of my enjoyment I was willing to postpone and how much of my enjoyment I really wanted to have be that extra 20%. And then sometimes if work was really bad, it was that extra 15% of the day. And sometimes if work was really, really bad, it was 10% of my day. Or, you know, there were days where it seems like I was, that the work was so hard that I was just, I was not going to be able to enjoy that day at all. Right. And so, and now this is probably the, well, maybe not the most money I was making ever, but I was still making, you know, I was making good money, I would say, at the time. And that really made me question that what ratio I'm willing to accept, what ratio of that enjoyment to work I'm really willing to accept. And then with the pandemic, really, one thing we've been chatting a lot about, Kaisa and I, is like this idea of like, you can't do your work from home for whatever reason has really gone out the window. And very few companies would really be able to say that they need you in the office for sure with a straight face, right? A lot of companies can say they prefer that you be in the office, but the idea that you would need to be in the office to get the work done is a more tenuous argument, I would say, for most companies these days. So for people who really wish to have more flexible work arrangements, I think that's very much now is the best time ever than I've ever seen, at least in my professional career and that I know of.
Has your employer been okay with the arrangement? They haven't questioned your ability to work in this kind of setting or anything?
No, I knock on wood. I mean, really, so far, so far, no problems. And so we're still, you know, we started in November.
Yeah.
So it's still kind of early to really, really say so. But at least from my immediate coworkers and my immediate supervisors, they've been quite supportive of the idea. And obviously they very open because they were the ones to accept the arrangement.
Yeah. That's great to kind of notice that things are changing and that you can actually change them by proposing something like this. And then the workplace might be like, okay, this wasn't so difficult. And maybe we'll have several digital nomads working for us in the future. And because it's a matter of trying and testing these options.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, and we have a particularly interesting one because we do have 7 hours in between us. But and I've worked with colleagues also who are working out of India, which is even a wider time gap. And so even though, you know, I would say even if you're looking at Europe to Europe, you might have a more, even more favorable argument, right? If you have 1 or 2 hours time difference, that kind of thing, you know, you'd have a very similar work arrangement than if you were at the office.
Yeah. Lastly, I would like to hear about some moment during this time when you have felt like, I'm so glad we're doing this. Has there been a specific place or time when you kind of have felt that this is how you want to live?
I think for me, it was actually moving to London. So when we got to live together and I was transitioning to taking those steps to move my career towards this, and I was like so glad that I did that.
Yeah, that was your initial step towards this life.
Yes, and that's maybe the hardest one.
Exactly. I mean,
for me it wasn't easy. We could do another podcast about that, but like you need to think about like, okay, like what do you want and what do you maybe like need to give up in order to move towards that. And like I said, I have my apartment in Helsinki, and yeah, kind of leaving the career and home and family and friends behind. But then you just connecting different ways. You visit and you have all these ways of connecting with people from anywhere in the world nowadays. So.
How about you, Louise? Has there been a defining moment?
Well, thanks, Kaisa, for taking the question first, because give me a little more time to think about it. It's hard to pinpoint a particular time, you know. I'd like to tell you, like, oh, you know, there was this one time overlooking the hills of Oaxaca, yeah, where I was like, wow, what an amazing, this is a great idea. And I think we've had many times like that, right? Like where we get to really enjoy time. Like when I think about like time spent with friends here in Italy, right? That we maybe was unexpected, or you know, meeting the people here in Italy, or some of the time we got to spend with close friends in Oaxaca, those kinds of things, those opportunities to see like really brand new places and have some very first time experiences. Those will definitely be highlights for sure. And those we've had plenty of those. And I think mine would be also along the lines of Kaisa, that one of the nicer things was kind of coming to the realization really towards the end of last year, before I started looking at employment seriously again, was that we had really given our chance to kind of explore, not do very much of anything. We've given ourselves a chance to do something that was maybe somewhat scary for us, for me definitely, being without employment, and the world hadn't ended, nothing had fallen completely off, and having that realization somewhere in the middle of the year, somewhere along the way, really feeling that like, oh, this has actually turned out okay. It's worked out quite well, and nothing, no one's ruined, nothing is completely lost, and that, you know, getting to those realizations and has been really one of the most rewarding bits of taking on this kind of like lifestyle.
Yeah.
Taking that chance.
Exactly. Thank you so much for this interview. I think there's been a lot of very practical things that people can use, and also nice to hear what it's really like and not just see all the nice pictures. But is there any channels where people can follow your travels or something you would like to share?
Oh, we didn't have a united channel or anything as such. I think we both post on our social media channels about our journeys and insights and realizations, and mostly those good moments, but they're sometimes a little bit challenging ones.
Well, we can share them in the show notes so people can find you if they're interested in your experiences. But thank you so much for doing this discussion.
Thank you, Aurora, for having us and sharing these inspiring stories. Can't wait to hear others, like how they create their work life.
Pleasure, yeah, no problem.
Ja taas on purkissa yksi Vapauden tavoittelijoiden jakso. Jos sul heräsi jotain pohdittavaa, niin laitathan mulle viestiä. Auki Korpi IG:ssä ja linkkarista löydät koko nimellä Aurora Airaskorpi. Mä toivotan sulle tosi hyvää vapauden tavoitteluviikkoa, mitä ikinä se sulle tarkoittaakaan. Ja jos teemat kiinnostaa, niin voit toki jatkaa kuuntelua tämän podin äärellä tai hypätä mun kirjaan Vapauden tavoittelijat äänikirja palvelussa. Vapauttavaa viikkoa ja päiviä ja aamuja ja iltoja ja öitä sulle. Moikka!